Men Calling On Demand is made possible by Welsh & Forbes, working with clients to manage the full range of events that come with building wealth, from investments to trustee services. More at welshforbes.com. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, strengthening Maine's coastal and island communities through education, health, and support. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
Let's talk about love.
Today on Maine Calling, Noel Paul Stuckey of Peter, Paul, and Mary on music and social activism today.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
Songs such as Blowing in the Wind, If I Had a Hammer, and We Shall Overcome were the heartbeat of the civil rights movement more than a half century ago, and their messages still resonate. And contemporary artists also continue to use music for social messages. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will discuss the power of music to propel social change with Noel Paul Stuckey of Peter, Paul, and Mary. His latest project amplifies the voices of current social change artists and takes on issues of our time. Maine Calling is just ahead.
For a miracle that set somebody free, yes, talk about love.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling.
How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in.
Musicians have long been forces for social change, and that continues today. Today, we are going to talk with singer-songwriter Noel Paul Stuckey, whose voice you just heard, of the legendary folk trio Peter, Paul, and Mary, and Saco-based musician Doug Colmore, about how music can drive social activism. Join the conversation, share your comments and questions via email, a brief email, please, talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on social media or call 1-800-399-3566. We'd love to hear what moves you to social change, to think about things differently. Is there a song that sticks with you? Are there songs? Are you a singer-songwriter yourself? Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. I'm going to start with you, Noel Paul Stuckey, and you know, it's so funny, so many years later, that song still makes you feel a little emotional, or many of us. And I'm wondering, what do you think of all the songs that have been written over the years, and all the songs that are talking about really important issues of the times? Why do some rise above? Why does Blowing in the Wind still reach into somebody's heart and kind of pull it out?
I think it's a combination of the events that are associated with the material. I mean, certainly, you know, the March on Washington was highlighted by the performance of Blowing in the Wind and If I Had a Hammer. And I also think, unlike many of the songs, well, not maybe I'm over-categorizing, but much of the material has to be really accessible for other people to sing. The untrained musician, you know, the person humming on their way to work, the guy driving the truck, you know. I mean, so I tend to think really of If I Had a Hammer as a more prominent kind of song in people's experience than Blowing in the Wind. I think particularly because it's a more hopeful song, you know. There's a kind of a message ingrained in Blowing in the Wind that says, how long do we have to put up with this, you know? but if I Had a Hammer, it's like, if I had the opportunity, I would give hope to the world, I'd give love to the world, you know. And there's a very strong positive message that people tend to keep alive in their own personal lives.
If when you sit down to write a song, do you think, okay, this is the change I want to make with this song? Or do you start writing and think, oh boy, I did it again?
Well, I don't. You'd have to ask Bobby Dylan about "Blowing in the Wind" or Pete Seeger about and Lee Hayes about if I.
You've written lots of songs yourself.
Well, that's true, and so the motivation for the song is internal. I'll give you that, Cindy. You know, it's got for any musician. It's a realization that I have a unique perspective, and it's manifesting itself in this particular rhyme scheme and this particular melody. So I'm going to bring it out. And I think as long as the artist, and Doug will testify on this too, as long as you're true to yourself, there's a kind of authenticity and transparency that an audience, whether they hear it on a record or see it in a performance, they say, you know, it makes a connection. It really is as though a friend was shaking your hand and saying, you know, this is what I believe.
Doug Colmar, I want to bring you into the conversation. The reason you're here today is you're one of, I believe, 15 artists chosen for a brand new record about that is called Hope Rises Too, a compilation of some of the best artists out today who are, you know, social activists as well, singing about issues that matter to people. Doug, tell me how you sit down to write a song. What are you thinking about when you... I was going to say put pen to paper, but you probably don't put pen to paper. You probably have your guitar in hand.
Well, yes, guitar, but yes, pen and paper too. I actually do find that I do like to write in a notebook. It's things find their way into the computer eventually, but I do usually start with a notebook and a pen. I definitely don't sit down consciously to say, okay, I'm going to write a song about this issue, but the seed for a song often comes from just something that I'm thinking about as I'm, you know, walking, observing stuff about the world. I mean, that's usually where things start. I'm like, I'm listening to what's going on, or I'm observing what's going on, and then a question will arise, and it kind of, it rolls around in my head, collects moss or snow or whatever, becomes large enough to become something that I get obsessed with, and then the song starts to grow from that really organically. Mm. And eventually, I may not even know what it's about until I'm, you know, three quarters of the way finished with it.
Something that's interesting to me, I was thinking about the songs of the 60s and the folk songs that were really overtly, social activist songs, and wondering what analogy is there today, how much social change work is going on, and soon realized that there is a lot of it going on. And in fact, some of the biggest hits today are songs that would be categorized as socially conscious songs in 2020 and this year in 2022. I think the Grammy Song of the Year in both cases could be categorized on this in 2020. The artist Her sang I Can't Breathe. That was Song of the Year. Obviously, the phrase from the George Floyd death. And then this year, Beyonce's song Black Parade. So what I'm thinking about, though, is that some of those songs, obviously I Can't Breathe is, but some of the other songs that we hear at first glimpse, we don't realize what they are. But as we listen again and again, and we think about their lyrics, and they worm their way into our brain, we say, aha. And Noel, I'm wondering if that's the kind of song that you're looking for when you're seeking out contemporary artists to amplify.
We were blessed. Music to Life, my daughter Liz and I started this organization to encourage musical social change and musicians of social change. And, you know, we were staggered by 250 entries, you know, to listen to. And it's obvious that each one of these artists has, done some deep dive into a particular concern of theirs. And that gets expressed in a song. So I think the criteria is pretty loose. I absolutely agree with you about the presence of social material and some of it somewhat obscure social change music. But to me, the handoff happened in the late 60s. You know, I mean, folk music became a national hit just in general because people had never heard songs. I mean, it was all lovey songs, you know, happening in the with syrupy string arrangements and stuff in the 50s. You know, Bing Crosby, Perry Como, you name it, there it was. But when music of social conscience began to happen on radio, I think everybody had a wake-up call. And they went, oh, I get it. We can talk about current events. We can talk about inequities. We can celebrate process. And at that point, the style of the music really didn't have to be a guitar, harmonica, and a lone voice anymore. And it did cross over into pop music. I mean, the Beatles were doing songs. And I just want to make one more point, and I don't know if Doug will agree with me. When Dylan went electric, connected with Bob Dylan's change of style, which I also feel is an important thing to note, he also dove deep into the personal reasons for injustice in the world. In other words, the underground message was, listen, before you tell the world how to be a better place, take care of the stuff in your own closet, you know? Get your act together. If you want to make a better world, start with yourself. And then, you know, Stevie Wonder picked it up, and then, you know, I mean, so the movement into pop music and its result, Beyoncé's music, this is the freedom to be able to express a concern, and the wider the understanding of the concern, the more popular the song is going to be.
Sure, and we're talking about, you know, early on, like you said, it was Peter, Paul and Mary, Pete Seeger, Bob Dylan, but then you have Marvin Gaye, What's Going On, mm-hmm. and the Beatles, Blackbird. Doug, your thoughts on how history has brought us to where we are today into the music that you write today.
Yeah, well, I think you know, Noel's correct in terms of some of the ways that change that Dylan presaged really drove the bringing in that personal aspect. And I think that's a really important part of it, is in terms of creating empathy for people who are listening. I mean, when you're invited maybe to do a song at a protest rally, you kind of know who your audience is and you can be really direct about it. But, you know, if your song's going to be on the radio, or, you know, you're performing for an audience that you don't know, you know, you have to be somewhat strategic, and establishing your, you know, the human problem that people can relate to, that then expands into the broader social issue, I think it's certainly one of the approaches that I try to take. And it's something that we talk about. I'm in a couple of different songwriting groups, and I work with Maine Songwriters Association. And you know, that's a topic that comes up quite often, where people are like, you know, I'm really fired up about this issue and I want to write a song about it. And then they're disappointed because, you know, they end up kind of dividing the room, or they don't get the kind of feedback that they want from it. And I think one of the problems is that they've led with their anger and kind of told people what to feel instead of just giving people something to think about or something to feel about that starts with a kind of a human place. And so I think that is definitely true. Bringing in that personal aspect is an important
absolutely
way.
Inviting empathy is what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about some of the musicians that you selected, you and a whole team of people, industry experts, selected for Hope Rises 2. We're going to start with Thea Hopkins. Tell us about her, Noel.
Well, Peter, Mary, and I, when we got back together again in 78 after taking our 7 years off for good behavior, brought in many different artists, and one of them that we discovered was Thea Hopkins, who wrote a song called Jesus on the Wire, which is about Matthew Shepard death, and really, really moving, powerful tune. And I didn't know, I didn't keep track of what Thea's career did after that, but my golly, she, you know, she has gone on to, well, first of all, I don't think we knew she was an indigenous native as well as black. So the double cultural awareness that she carries into her music really shows up on this track that she's got on Hope Rises 2, which is The Ghost of Emmett Till, the retelling of the Emmett Till story. She has the capacity to, I don't know how else to describe it except to include us in her tribe. You know, we are at one with her when we hear it. And, you know, the credits that she's gotten, quite apart from her inclusion in the in Hope Rises 2, I mean, she was in 2019, she was selected by the Western Arts Alliance as a Native Launchpad artist. She's got, just an amazing festival and repertoire experience behind her.
So let's hear part of that. This is Thea Hopkins with Ghost of Emmett Till.
In the town of Money, on the Mississippi side, sharecroppers, cotton patches, magnolia skies. Deep in this town, more than 60 years ago, a boy was murdered down the road. The ghost of Emmett Till walks across this land, still waiting for a man.
Really beautiful, Noel. Thank you for choosing that song. We're going to hear another clip after a break. We have a break coming up, but I want to hear about a completely different kind of artist, Shireen Amini. But we're going to wait on that because, Noel, I understand you have your guitar in your hands right now. Is that right?
I thought you said a break.
We're going to go to a break in a minute, but I know that Noel Paul Stuckey has his guitar with him. So why don't you sing us into that break? What are you going to sing for us?
Okay. Well, pursuant to where Doug has taken the conversation or his agreement with me that you have to be totally at peace with yourself before you bring any kind of message, I wrote this song that says, let's talk about love. With a capital L. When was the last time you heard it spelled? With the emphasis in the proper place. Ooh, yes, talk about love, 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 love. You may recall a situation. Change of heart, didn't see. Love's the only explanation for a miracle that set somebody free. Yes, talk about love, where it all began. Yeah, love, love, love like a master plan. If you believe, then raise your hand. Let's talk about love, love.
This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You are listening to Maine Calling. Today, my guests, both singer-songwriters, Noel Paul Stuckey, who has been a musician activist since his days with Peter, Paul, and Mary, and Doug Colmar, a folk musician from Saco. We are talking about the role of music in driving and reflecting social change, and we are talking about this because a brand new album is out called Hope Rises 2. It is the second compilation led by Noel Paul Stuckey and a whole team of his collaborators to amplify voices of artists who are working for social change. You can join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Before the break, we teased that we're going to hear another artist from the album. Noel, tell us about Shireen Amani. Am I pronouncing that right?
It's Shireen, and Amani, I think, is the way the last name is pronounced. Yeah, I've been blown away by her. You know, when you were talking, or when we spoke of the evolution of folk music's conscience into pop music, we did not mention probably one of the leading cutting edges of that of those statements, which is done in rap. Rap music has, taken over most of the younger generation, I think. And I'm just not used to hearing this comes with an 85-year-old being brought up as an old fart, if I may use that four-letter word in its most judicious manner. I'm just not used to lady rappers. And Shireen just blew my socks off. Not only that, but, you know, a statement for the LGBT genre and generation. She has a very commanding appearance. And once again, I have to apologize. These voices came to us, you know, these 250 voices to select, without any personal meeting. I mean, with a possible exception, you know, of Thea. But most of them were like voices in the wild. And to be able to be persuaded by them, with the occasional throw-in of a video, was, I don't know, sort of made the playing field really level, because everyone was viewed according to the message and according to some extent, the manner in which the message was presented. So I think you're going to play a clip from Shireen.
Yep.
And it's going to knock your socks off too.
All right, let's
are
hear,
you out,
Shireen.
Are you innocent? I am going to break myself free so you can see me, fully see me, all of me. You can decide if you will take me or you leave me. This world needs me to be me.
No, not just all sorts of genres, but also all sorts of issues on this album. We go from, as you mentioned, LGBTQA plus issues to climate change, immigration. We know that so much of what's being sung today has to do with just about every issue that's in the news.
Yep, and Black Power, and yeah, I think it's quite diverse. You know, the issue seems so much simpler in the 60s, you know. I mean, there was inequity. It was racial inequity. And then suddenly we became aware that, whoa, you know, we're talking about human rights now. And human rights spills over into environment. You know, it spills over into many of the issues. But one of the interesting things about Music to Life, I got to make a testimony here, is that my daughter has taken it to the streets. That is to say, Doug and Shireen and Thea and myself to a certain extent now are actively involved. We don't just sing at rubber chicken dinners to raise money for charities. We're out on the streets living that music that we've created, and often working with people in their most comfortable capacity. Sometimes that might be a prison. You know, you have Miles Bullen in Portland, who works with homeless and in prisons. There are people who, in Austin, Texas, for instance, one of the MTL folks gathers homeless, and there's such a liberating moment that happens to even a non-songwriter when they're asked to participate in the creation of a lyric that speaks to something that they're suffering or witnessing. So there is an active participation by all of these musicians in the communities from that they're from.
We'll go to Chuck, who's calling from Standish. Hi, Chuck. Go ahead.
Hi. I've got a
my kind of guy
about the power of music itself to empower or manipulate, comparing different songs like Schooner Fair had two songs on the same album, Rising of the Moon, which is about going to war, and Powder Monkey, which is against war, both very similar in style, or Johnny I Hardly Knew You as opposed to Johnny Comes Marching Home, or God Bless the USA as opposed to one of my favorites from the Neil Steepy Orchestra, The Means Are the End.
Well,
we've met
you're
before,
right.
By the way.
Thank you for the Neil Steepy reference. I'll pass it on to him. The fact is, folk music has a very broad platform. Although I don't think that there are very radical right folk singers. I think that when issues arise and there are decidedly two sides to the issue, then I think it calls out, you know, the passion that can be identified sometimes most closely by music, because as you said, it touches something wordlessly in us and calls us to deeply consider the issue.
Doug?
Yeah, I think the different levels that music provides for people to be invited into the conversation are super important. I mean, there's the kinesthetic level, just the sonic and emotional level. So you're already sort of bringing somebody in before they even hear what the message is. And that's, you know, I think a really important the reason that music can be such a powerful vehicle for social messaging.
Chuck, thanks for your call. We'll move on to Reedfield and Ellen. Hi, Ellen. Go ahead.
Hi. Well, as a children's musician through the years, I'm very interested in what songs for both of you, composers and singers, struck you as young children. Is there a song that you can remember that really sticks with you today when you were little kids? That's my question.
Doug, you go first. I've got a couple.
You know, it's funny. And it wasn't, I was surrounded by Broadway music as a kid. My parents were both theater people. And the song, my sister and I used to sing the song, Do You Want to Have Fun? And I can't remember whether it's from Pal Joey or what it's from now, but it was not an activist song, but it was a song that we used to, you know, it was communal for us because it was something my sister and I did together. And I was quite a bit younger than her. So there's a trade-off part where they cue a kid and she would cue me as the kid. But, you know, that was the song that we all knew and we, as a family, enjoyed together.
I do a lot of concerts for kids. I don't know if it's because of Puff the Magic Dragon's appeal or It's Raining, It's Pouring. And I find that there's just a kind of an innocence, acceptance, and a delight to participate. But I think one of the most important songs that Peter, Paul, and Mary did was from an organization in Texas called Kid Links. And there was a song called Inside. It said, that's the most important part. Inside, that's where you got to find the heart of the matter. And songs, I think, once again, with a conscience can cross over into children's songs. It's not, you know, it's not only It's Raining, It's Pouring, you know, and allusions to those songs of our childhood. But I think there are opportunities to be of an encouragement and instruction to kids at the same time. I recommend the song Inside, if you can find it on YouTube from a Peter, Paul, and Mary album or a Kid Links album.
Can you sing us just a little bit of it?
Sure. Well, it almost has like a rap part. Let's say you're at this birthday party. Let's say you just turned 8 and there are presents everywhere and all of them look great. You can't tell which one's your favorite by looking at the bow. To pick one out from all the rest, unwrap each present. Then you'll know inside, that's the most important part. Inside, that's the place you got to start. Inside, that's where you'll find the heart of the matter. And then there's two other verses as well, but they're very, very cute.
Thank you. I confess there's my favorite song when I was little, Noel, I don't know if I ever told you, was Puff the Magic Dragon. There's a recording of me singing it very badly when I was about 3. But, you know, I was thinking as you were talking of that album that was, you know, I think really groundbreaking, which was Free to Be You and Me. Right now, the people who were raised on that are in their 50s.
Right. Well, that's why the second children's album we did was called Peter, Paul, and Mommy 2.
Ellen, thank you so much for your call. We will move on to Kate, who's calling from Appleton. Hi, Kate. Go ahead.
Hello. I just wanted to add, I come from a family that was always politically active, but the beauty of Peter, Paul, and Mary, their songs, they were universal. They transcended generations. They were songs that people carried with them. And I remember a young person from a younger generation said to me, "Oh, who are they?" And I looked at that person and I said, "Why, I remember when they packed the Yale Bowl. And we who were reporters at the Danbury News Times could not get tickets, but Virginia Kwanye, Mary's mother, got us tickets, and we were able to get in." That's how Yale Bowl is huge, and it was just packed. So I have a very special place in my heart for Peter, Paul, and Mary and their contribution to the really folklore and music and their activism.
Thank you, dear. You're going to love Doug's song then. But, I mean, you can't. Doug has given in this song that he's written, which I hope we're going to be able to hear all of, Doug has given life itself a body, an ephemeral body that includes all of us, and life has a point of view. I mean, it's so abstract on one hand and so involving on the other hand. Cindy, do we have time to play the whole thing?
So what we're going to do, we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, that was a wonderful tease, Noel. We're going to come back and have Doug sing the song that is featured on the album Hope Rises Too. Kate, thank you so much for calling. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You are listening to Maine Calling. Today on the show, we're hearing some great music and talking with Noel Paul Stuckey and Doug Colmar about how musicians can be activists for social change. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can call our number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. or find us on social media. Well, we've been teasing it enough. Doug, tell us about the song that of yours that was chosen for this album, Hope Rises Too.
Thanks, Jennifer. And Paul, thank you so much for that setup. It was lovely. So the phrase, "So Said Life," is really kind of where the song started from. And as I said before, that's kind of been my approach to writing, is to keep my ears and eyes open and just, you know, listen to what questions life is throwing at me or things that I'm observing in order to build a song. And in this one, I sort of isolated that phrase and thought, I'm like, well, what does that mean? And what would life be saying? And I began to imagine sort of all of these sort of spiritual and physical manifestations of life forces around us having a conversation and thinking, like, what would they talk about? And it seemed that one of the more intractable puzzles of life is how humans seem to refuse to be able to live together in peace. And this would be something that would be worth their thinking and discussing. So that was the seed for the song.
Hit it.
Okay. So said life, and dreams are green. You know this vine's gonna bring me to my knees. The wind chimed in, I do despair. Promises are spoken and then vanish in the air. And hope sighs, long I've wandered, just to see my good seed squandered. I'm seeking my release from a world that won't believe in peace. And God joined in. Look at what's become of the world to which I gave my only son. They use my names in war, twisted up my love, claim their words for mine as they kill the dove. And hope cries, long I've wandered, just to see my good seed squandered. I'm seeking my release from a world that won't believe in peace. If we are hopeless, then will we know? We wasted seeds we were meant to sow. Seeds lay barren with no breeze or bird to bear them. Be the bird, be the breeze, so said life.
Thank you so much, Doug. That was just beautiful. I mean, not, I don't have words.
Touching. So touching. So, yeah. Good on you, man.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to read an email from Helen York, who writes, and hi, Helen. Former Maine Public Radio host, Helen York here. Peter, Paul, and Mary were so instrumental in my moral and societal path in life. It was the 1960s. I was 15 years old and performing at a local coffee house in Youngstown, Ohio. Peter, Paul, and Mary were going to be appearing at the big venue that evening, and I was gobsmacked when I saw Peter and Paul come in during my set. Afterwards, Noel Paul came up and said something to the effect that I had a powerful voice, make sure to use it for the right things. Bob Dylan, Joan Baez, Pete Seeger, and Peter, Paul, and Mary set me on my path 55 years ago. Noel, you're still encouraging people to use their voice for the right things.
Yeah, well, and or they're just remembering to tell me.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go to Con Fulham calling from Wyndham. Hi, Con. How are you?
I'm just fine. Hi, Noel.
Hi, Con.
I'm just calling in to make the good listeners of Maine Public aware of PSINTU, which is Maine's Multinational Immigrant and Refugee Girls Chorus. And we have carried the message of the power and the importance of refugees and immigrants to America across the world. Our song and video, Somewhere, was the most successful social media campaign for the United Nations High Commission for Refugees last year. So I guess that's we're doing some good work.
Con, thanks so much, and congratulations on all the success. I know that you all have been doing this good work for so many years now.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, we're going to move on. We'll go to John, who's calling from Portland. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm really inspired by this. That was a lovely song. I think the reason I'm inspired is I think protest and social relevance in music is incredibly important, and only a few break through. Peter, Paul, and Mary certainly did. Bob Dylan, tremendously. I think of Tracy Chapman, Nina Simone, John Prine. Sometimes people are doing a great job and staying consistent and are hardly ever heard of. From Seattle, there's a guy named Jim Page who's been playing for years. He's still alive and doing it. Some of his songs are extraordinary. A reworking of This Land is Your Land is worth listening to, and many others. And I'm just curious if anyone else has ever heard of them. And if not, I'm happy to have at least mentioned Jim Page on the air.
Doug, you're nodding. Do you know Jim Page's work?
No, but I think I have heard, until he mentioned the reworking of This Land is Your Land, that sounds familiar, and I may have heard it and not realized who it was.
Yeah. Well, John, thanks so much for calling. Going to an email here from Claudia. This show makes me realize how important the influence of folk songs was on my political development. Growing up in a fairly conservative community and in a time when there were 3 broadcast TV stations and a limited number of radio stations, all AM, folk songs were a way that I was exposed to people questioning the view that the U.S. was the strongest, bestest nation out there. One of my favorites is Dylan's The Times They Are A-Changing. That song seems ever relevant. Good point there, Noel. The times they are a-changing.
Yeah, they are, and it's sometimes difficult to keep up with the changes when they come so rapidly and when they're from so many different sources. I don't know if the issue of the midterms really expresses the full embrace of human beings of the political process or democracy in America that's being touted, that the results are that. And I think that's a good sign, anything that, in a sense, salutes America coming together. I had an interesting discussion. I don't want to go too far to the left, but we just thought that maybe the IRS should start sending thank you notes to people who pay their taxes and say, and commend them on the fact that they're, thank you very much for the school children's lunches that you've purchased in the state of Arkansas. Thank you very much for the, because I think we're just, as a people, as citizens of the United States, we're somewhat disassociated from that process, and it opens the door for people to make, you know, terrible claims about they're taking all my money and they're giving it away. Well, what they're doing is, in a sense, allowing you to be charitable to folks who are in a position that can really use it. So,
I was thinking
the same thing. Go ahead, Doug.
You're saying it sounds like a good song idea right there. I hear John Prine writing that one.
I called up the IRS. I told them I was.
Yeah. Keep going. Well, that sounds great. Oh, my gosh. We'll go to Penny, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Penny. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I want to thank Noel Polstucki for Peter, Paul, and Mary, which is, you know, the flag in my generation, and activism with beauty and emotion. I mean, such touching music. And I also want to put in a plug for Emma's Revolution, for the music that they write, the energy that they have, their activism. I mean, they are active all the time in writing songs that address issues at the moment and supporting movements that need to be supported. And they, I mean, you go to a concert of theirs, you want to follow them out and do what they do.
Mm-hmm. Penny, thank you for that recommendation. We're running short on time, and I haven't asked you all yet about favorite musicians, favorites today. Doug, I'll start with you. Who do you listen to? Who do you turn to when you are looking for inspiration?
Well, you know, somebody who has gotten a lot of recognition last year, and, you know, embeds really some difficult topics into her songs, but in a way that, you know, takes you a little while to unravel. This Alison Russell, she's really wonderful. She was in a band called Birds of Chicago and now has got a pretty strong solo career.
Well, thank you for that recommendation. What about you, Noel? Who would you like to, in addition to the 15 artists on the album,
really.
Who do you turn to? What do you listen to when you've got some quiet moments?
I'm continually amazed at the longevity and the talent of Tom Paxton. He was my roommate in Greenwich Village in the 60s, and we moved into the Gaslight, and then our careers took us in separate directions, but... You know, and he's probably best known for That Was the Last Thing on My Mind, you know, country and western hit done by Porter Wagoner and Dolly Parton. But, I mean, he just keeps pumping them out, you know, whether he was. And they're all, they all have, and I think we're missing this somehow in contemporary music about political circumstances. He has a sense of humor. He's like Saturday Night Live, you know. He has the ability to reduce conflicting arguments into a really identifiable choice between absurdity and common sense. I think he's been, you know, vastly overlooked, even though he's very popular. But back to a point that Doug made, who is doing the... you know, the social conscience singing. Well, it doesn't have the airwaves to promote it in the way that it does. It's not that new a phenomenon. So the fact that it leaked sideways, as Jennifer suggested, into pop music of today, I think is very commendable. And that does keep it alive. But also look for the little resurgence of the coffee houses in towns around you. They are coming back because the intimacy with which these artists, these young social change artists, can approach the topics and approach you as a fellow human being on the same journey, is pretty remarkable. The need for that kind of intimacy, especially in this calculating internet virtual world that we found ourselves in, I think it's really important to keep that kind of contact up. So support your local coffee house.
We'll go to Larry calling from Surrey. Larry, we're tight on time, so if you could be quick, that'd be great.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. One of the most impactful singers of my generation, which is the 60s, is Barry McGuire, who sang Eve of Destruction, which sounds like a negative outlook on life, but really it was a very anti-war stance. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Larry.
Right.
I appreciate it. Noel, your thoughts of Eve of Destruction?
I think he's right insofar as sometimes we need to accurately describe the circumstances we find ourselves in to be reminded of the import. And that's what Barry's Eve of Destruction was. Barry went on to be quite prominent in the Christian music world. I think it's inevitable that those of us that point to the inadequacy in our own life or in the world around us look for a kind of central theme, and to find love at the core of it is very reassuring, and also becomes then a part of the new social agenda, becomes part of what we find thematically, just as Doug has, important to keep generating the music with.
Well, it has been such a treat this 2 days before Thanksgiving to have you with us. That's Noel Paul Stuckey, a singer-songwriter based in Maine. His latest collection of music by social change artists is Hope Rises Too. And Doug Colmore is on that album. He's a folk musician based in Saco. Today's sound engineer was George Thomas. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about food equity and efforts to end hunger in Maine. And as we say goodbye, we're going to hear Noel's voice again, a bit of his song, In These Times. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling.
There's a warning in the wind that comes wailing through the trees. crushing in the shoreline, left by the pounding seas. There is a lesson in the drought that brings a country to its knees in these times. We are dancing with disaster when we live beyond our needs and pretend our hungry souls are not related to our greed. Life's a journey, but it's not about the speed in these times. Spirit in this land, planting flowers.